Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas, the church at Antioch was actually the largest Christian church in the world. It was bigger than the church in Jerusalem. But it was mostly Gentiles. And the church at Jerusalem was still headquarters for Christianity because that's where the apostles were. That's where it all started. So now you've got this huge Gentile church sending these two guys back to say, look, all of us guys out here, we love Jesus too. We're not sure if that's okay with you. And so that was the, well, that among a few other things was the reason why Paul went back. Titus, that went with him, was a Gentile Christian. Kind of interesting that Paul took him along as well. I've always thought maybe it was show and tell. What, maybe it's like he's saying, okay, here's my friend Titus. Look at him. He's a Gentile. He loves Jesus. Here, Titus, you know, praise the Lord. Or you know what I mean? It's like, see, here's a living, breathing. Some of these people have never seen a Gentile, just never touched a Gentile. Now there's a Spirit-filled Gentile and a Spirit-filled Jewish believer coming with Paul. And it was a good trip, and apparently they found out that, and Paul's point in mentioning this episode is to say, look, I found out that all the stuff that I was worried about that the Judaizers were traveling around saying, that they didn't have any authorization from the apostles. The apostles welcomed Titus. They didn't force Titus to become a Jew. They heard the message. They saw what God was doing. So these, in essence, he's writing to the churches in Galatia and saying, these Judaizers, they're the ones that are not authorized, not me. I'll just read the narrative and starting at verse 2, I went in response to a revelation. In other words, the Lord came along and said, it's time, you need to go. In fact, if you read that account in the book of Acts, it was spoken actually through a prophecy at the church in Antioch saying, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas. So he picked his own guys. But I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain. That's not a personal thing. Not that he doubted his calling. He's just saying, look, if this is still an issue, and if those guys at headquarters haven't got this yet, am I wasting my time out in the Gentile world when we don't have the support of the mother church, so to speak? This matter, verse 4, arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on our freedom. I told you that in my first church, which was quite large, grew quite large, almost 1,000 people in 5 years' time. And at the time that we were the largest church in the county, other churches would send spies. And there were people that would kind of sneak in, they'd blend into the crowd, and they'd sit there and they'd take notes and just to see what we were doing. And interestingly, the reason I know this is because a couple of them wound up coming to our church, because they came and they thought, well, these people aren't doing anything weird. And they went back to report to the guys that sent them, and they couldn't stay there anymore. So this whole idea of, if you're enjoying your Christianity and you are free in God's grace, there are certain Christians, even legalistic Christians, that hate that. They hate it. We've had quite a run-in. Some of the people in our family, that our church family, that have families from those legalistic churches that won't have anything to do with them. So it's something that still happens. They wanted to make us slaves, verse 4 says, to their legalism. But Paul says, I didn't give in to them, because if I did, then you guys would be shut out, all of you Gentiles. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for doing that. In verse 6 and 7, as for those that seemed to be important, whoever they were, whatever they were, doesn't make any difference to me because God doesn't judge by external appearances. He said those guys didn't add anything to my message. My message was still pure the way it came to me from Jesus. The titles and the pointy hats and the bells and the smells and all of that stuff doesn't impress God. They're inventions of people. There is something that calls itself Christianity that is virtually human in its origin. In fact, it sometimes has nothing to do with the life that Jesus lived and even what he taught. It just wears his name, but it's a human invention. And God isn't impressed by that. Never has been, never will be. Verses 7 through 10, he just talks about the affirmation of Paul's message and his calling. In verse 7 and 8, where it says that about Paul going to the Gentiles, Peter going to the Jews, that wasn't exclusive ministry. It just meant primarily because Paul ministered to Jews and Peter ministered to Gentiles at certain times. The point of all of this and the right hand of fellowship, the head guys, they gave Barnabas and I the right hand of fellowship in Middle Eastern cultures. Actually, even in our own country, at one time, a handshake was like signing a contract because a lot of people couldn't read. You know, you made an X and you signed and you shook hands, and that was a contract. But it simply meant that there was a pledge of friendship. It was an endorsement. If they'd had photography, they would have probably taken a picture so that they could show it around and say, see, these guys say we're okay. The thing that I find interesting about this, and we'll wrap this up. I've got two or three more minutes, don't I? The thing that's interesting about this is the church could have splintered and split, and that would have been it. If Paul hadn't taken a stand for grace, that Gentiles could be added, Gentiles is us, folks. It's all of the world that's not Jewish. It's almost 100 million people in China who are Christians. There's a lot of people that would have been left out if Peter and James and John, the heads of the church at Jerusalem, had not recognized God's working through Paul. It was different. It was outside the boundaries of anything that they were used to as good little Jewish boys. Remember in the book of Acts how Peter had to personally be convinced by Jesus that God wanted to save Gentiles. God knows how to do that. And God convinced Peter. But if they had, it was such a big deal. If they had not have seen, yeah, this is different than what we've always known, but it's obviously Jesus. And if it's Jesus doing it, then we're on the same team. Even if you're talking to different people than I am. And the thing that I find so important about that is that the church is a mess today because we've forgotten how to do that. The minute we split off into denominations and stuff and they're one part of the body that calls itself the body of Christ won't talk to another part because you do things differently than we do. Only one or two ministers in this whole county have ever spoken to me. It's just weird how humans can be. The thing that changes is it is the Holy Spirit. When I have a heart that I want to be behind whatever it is that God's doing, I just want to know that it's God doing it. If it's God doing it, it doesn't have to be exactly like this. In fact, if you stop to think about it, the world's too big, people are too different, God is too smart to confine everything that he wants to do in the human race to one particular church. People are just too different. The issue is not, does it look like what we're doing? The issue is it God doing it? And that's what settled this dispute. Next week, we'll pick up, next week is worship and prayer, but next Bible study, we'll pick up Paul having to confront Peter when Peter came to the Gentile church. And Peter, good old Peter, he may have been spirit-filled, but he was still Peter. And he still had a few things to learn. It's just like when you give your life to Jesus and you become a new creature, you don't automatically become a good cook. If you were a bad cook and you get saved, you're going to be a saved bad cook until you learn how to be a good cook. There are certain things that it just takes a while to change. And we get to look next time at Peter. That's a lot of territory to cover. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for all that the import of this, that it means that you don't write people off when we do, that you have a plan, and if it takes 20 or 30 years for it to unfold, you're patient enough to do that. I thank you, Lord, for setting me apart from my birth to serve you. I thank you, Lord, for all that we have seen of you in this passage, how tender-hearted you are, even to people that fight you, even to people that swear to wipe your name off the face of the earth. You can still change a heart like that, soften it with your love. Lord, our desire is that you would work in the lives of people that we know that are fighting you, that they can do this kind of a turnaround. I want to be the kind of person that could be like Ananias, who was brave enough to listen to you and go even talk to Paul. So Lord, fill us with your spirit. Give us your perspective on the world around us. Give us the confidence that you have begun a good thing in us and you're going to finish it. Thank you for your word, Lord. Amen. Whirlwind tour.